You know, there are a number of topics that folks love to hear sermons about. We could hear sermons about love all day long. We'd love to hear sermons about peace and joy. We could listen to sermons about heaven. We could listen to sermons about blessings of being a Christian every Sunday. We could just fill ourselves up on them. But there's some sermons that, well, they're just not necessarily the ones that we want to hear. Guess which one we might be having today? There are some sermons that if you go to some religious bodies, there are some Bible sermons you would never hear. There are some Bible topics you would never hear discussed because they're not popular to talk about. It's not what people want to hear. But the reality is that preachers have a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God and to talk about everything that the Bible talks about. And it's the responsibility of preachers to share with individuals what they need to do in order to go to heaven. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, "Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." That's the purpose of preaching. And so there's one topic that perhaps you think, well, maybe it's not that bad of a topic. But if you think about what does this topic involve, it is a very personal topic. Today I want to ask the question, do I need to repent? And there's some people who hear that and say, nope, not me. That's for everybody else here today. Boy, this is an easy one for me. I don't need to repent. And if you're thinking that this morning, I'm preaching at you today. Do I need to repent? You know, the Bible says a lot about repentance. And this morning, I'm not here to share with you my ideas, my thoughts, my opinions about the topic. I want us to allow the Bible to teach us, because while there are a number of commands in the Bible that may not be all that difficult to obey, repentance sometimes and usually is something difficult to obey, because it means that we've got to do something. It means we've got to change something, and sometimes we don't like to do that. I read a statement earlier this week that said the greatest obstacle to man's salvation, the greatest obstacle to man going to heaven, is his own stubborn will. I want you to think about that. What is it that's going to stand between you and going to heaven? Is there something that's standing there in your stubborn will that you need to get out of the way? And so we ask the question this morning, do I need to repent? And as you think about your life this morning, as you look within your own heart today, I want us to understand that repentance is a very personal topic. This is talking about me and my relationship with God. And that's why the sermon is not entitled, "Do You Need to Repent?" The question is, do I? This is between me and my God and my relationship with Him. This morning, I just want us to ask three questions about repentance, and I want us to allow the Bible to answer those three questions. I want to ask the question, what is it? I want to ask the question, why should I do it? And then the third question we're going to ask is, well, who needs to repent? And as we go through this, I want us to all, each and every one of us, to investigate, to kind of examine ourselves and say, how does this apply to me today? First question we've got to ask when we come to repentance is, what is this? I mean, this is a word that we hear in a church setting, but how often do we talk about repentance outside in the world? How often do we hear that word used? But I don't want to give you a Webster's definition of this. I want us to allow the Bible to teach us what is repentance. In order to understand repentance, it's important for us to first understand sin. We'll never understand repentance fully if we don't have a good understanding of what sin is and of what sin does, because that's what repentance is all about. The Bible teaches us a number of things about sin, but let me just share three of them with you. Bible teaches us that when we sin, that it is against God. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife to sleep with her, Joseph did not say in Genesis 39 and verse 9, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? How can I sleep with his wife and sin against Potiphar?" It would have been a sin against Potiphar, but that's not what Joseph said. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" That's what sin is. Sin is when I violate the revealed will of God in His Word, when either by an act of commission where I do something God told me not to do, 1 John 3 and verse 4, committing a sin, or by an act of omission where I don't do something that I know God wants me to do, James 4 and verse 17, where I commit an act that is against God. That's what sin is. God wants me to do things, I don't do them, or I violate what He says to do, and I've committed something against my God. Not against your God, I've committed something against my God. And as a result of that, the Bible says my sin, not your sin, my sin separates me from my God. If I'm going to understand what repentance is, I've got to come to a healthy understanding of what sin is. And I've got to be able to see sin the way God sees sin. So what is repentance then? Repentance by definition, and here's the simplest definition, and this isn't a Webster's definition. This is a definition of the Greek word from which we get the word repentance. The word repentance means that I have a change of mind, a change of my will. Remember what that person, the quote that I said, that the greatest obstacle for any man going to heaven is his own stubborn will? Repentance is changing my will. It's changing my mind, which then leads me to a change of action. It leads me to a change of life. We're asking a question this morning. Do I need to repent? As you look at this definition for repentance that says it's a change of life that leads to a change of action, look at your life today. Is there anything that needs to be changed? Is there, when you look at the things that you have done against God, when you look at your sin, is there a mindset that you need to have that is a change towards sin that's in your life? Romans 6 and verse 12 says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body." What does that mean? Get rid of it. Is there any sin that you're allowing to take up residence in your heart and in your life? God says we need to have a change of mind that leads to a change of life. We need to change our mind about sin. And what that change is, this change involves a turn. It involves a turn, or for some, a return to God, but it involves a turn towards God. Let me read you what Samuel told Israel. Here's how Samuel talks about this turn. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6, he says to Israel, "If you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, then put away the foreign gods from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only." Repentance is when I change my mind and I make a turn. When Paul was talking to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he told King Agrippa, can you imagine the boldness of a prisoner standing before a king and preach? What would you preach to him? You might preach love. God loves you, Agrippa. I hope you love me. What would you preach? Are you preaching him about heaven? What does he preach to King Agrippa? You need to repent, in verse 20, turn to God and have works befitting repentance. Agrippa needed to hear it. We need to hear it. Repentance involves a change of my mind where I turn my life towards God. And it starts with my mind. Starts with my mind. The passage that was read this morning from Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 gives us a great illustration of repentance. There's a father in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 21. It's a father who has two sons. You know the story. He says to the two sons, go today and work in my vineyard. The first son, in verse 29, what does he do? First son says, I will not. Go work in my vineyard. I will not. And then the Bible says, afterward, he regretted it. What's that? That's a change of mind. He hasn't fully repented yet, but he has started that process by a change of mind. He said, I'm not going to do what you want me to do, Father. And then all of a sudden, his mind had a change. Remember the prodigal son? The story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 is a great illustration of repentance. Here was a boy, here was a young man anyway, who wanted his father dead. Who didn't care anything about his father, and he wished he was dead. That's why he wanted his inheritance. And so he turns against his father. He takes his inheritance and he goes and wastes it in a foreign land. Does this boy need to repent? Here's the illustration. Here's the picture of repentance. The Bible says he came to himself, Luke chapter 15. And then it says that this boy said to himself, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to my father, I have sinned against you. What is he doing? It's a change of mind. He is thinking about what he needs to do to change. He's regretting where he is, but he has not fully repented yet. Repentance starts in the mind, but it's completed in the action. If I only regret what I've done, I haven't fully repented. Repentance, look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 29, where this boy who said to his father says, go work in my vineyard, and he says to his father, I will not. You need to repent, boy. Okay, so the Bible says he regretted it. He hasn't fully repented yet. Not until the last two words of verse 29. He said, I will not. He regretted it. Last two words of verse 29, and went. That's when his repentance was complete. The prodigal son, when the prodigal son says, I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say to him, I have sinned against you, he has started the process of repentance, but he hasn't completed it until the next two verses. Where in the next two verses, the Bible says, he arose, what he said he was going to do. He went to his father, what he said he was going to do, and begins to say, I've sinned against you, what he said he was going to do. Repentance involves a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Let me put it in a different way. Perhaps this is a way that maybe we can remember. There's kind of four parts to repentance. And they all start with the same letter R for repentance to maybe help us to remember what it is. Repentance begins with a regret for the sins that I have committed. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says that godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to salvation. What produces repentance? Godly sorrow. Not just being sorry. That's not just being sorry I got caught. Being sorry that somebody saw me doing it. But it's a godly sorrow that's within my heart. The same godly sorrow they had in Acts chapter 2. They heard that they crucified Jesus. That's what Peter preached to them. And when they heard they crucified Jesus, what does verse 37 say? They were cut to the heart. Godly sorrow. Regretting that they had crucified Jesus. Regretting the sins that we have committed, not against ourselves, not just the sins we've committed against others. Yes, all of that's true. But the sins we've committed against God. But if that's all the further you make it, you haven't repented. You've started the process, but you have not fully repented. The Bible says in Matthew 27 that Judas got this far. Matthew 27 verse 3 says Judas got this far. He regretted what he had done, but he didn't make full repentance. He did not get all the way through this. And so we look at the second R. That not only do we need to regret the sin that we've committed against our God, but we need to make resolution to stop sinning. Just because we regret something doesn't mean that we're going to resolve to stop doing it, but that's what we've got to do. We look at the sin that's separating us from God and we regret what we've done and we make up our minds, I've got to stop doing this. Read Psalm 51. David got caught in his sins. But David was full of godly sorrow. And you read Psalm 51 and his heart pours out and says, God, I've got to stop this. We need to regret what we've done. We need to resolve that we are not going to do it anymore. And then when we go to our God, we need to reform, make a reformation of life. We resolve, I'm not going to do this anymore, but then we make a reformation that we are going to turn our lives away from that sin. Not stay over here in the sin. Not, well, you know, it's okay if I'm over here on the weekends. It's okay if I'm over here every now and then, but we make a reformation that says, here's this change, that I'm going to turn away from that sin and not have anything to do with it anymore. Those are easy words to put on the screen. That's a hard thing to do. To reform ourselves. Jonah in Jonah chapter 3 went and preached to Nineveh. And Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10 says that these people of Nineveh, who Jonah wanted to go to hell, that's what he wanted for them. He didn't want to preach to them. But he goes and he preaches to them. And what happens? Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10 says that they turned to the Lord. That they turned away from the evil that they were doing. And they turned to God. That's what we've got to do. And Isaiah says to Israel in Isaiah 55 and verse 7, forsake your evil ways. Turn away from it. What sin is there in our lives that we need to regret? That we need to resolve and say, God, I don't want to do that anymore. That we need to reform our direction and not keep walking in the wrong direction, but make a reformation. Say, no, I'm going to change the direction, and then whatever I need to do in restitution, whatever I need to do, whatever wrongs that I've done, I need to make them right. It's not just, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. It is making restitution for those wrongs that I have done. You read Jesus' conversation with Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, and that's the promise that Zacchaeus made, was that he was going to make restitution for those wrongs that he had done. Another word for restitution is, I need to fix it. If there are things, relationships, that I have messed up, I need to try to fix it. If I've stolen something, I need to return it. If there are wrongs that I can fix, this is where John, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, this is where John preached to bear fruits of repentance. You see, repentance, in these first three parts, repentance is inward. But in the last part, the restitution, repentance needs to be outward. That Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Can you imagine being that Philippian jailer? And perhaps being one of, or maybe the only one of those soldiers who had beaten Paul and Silas before throwing them into prison? Here you are, a jailer. You've beaten these men. You've laid into them with these whips. You've thrown them into prison. And then the earthquake, and then do thyself no harm, we are all here, and then what must I do to be saved, and then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and then he preached unto them and his whole household, and what did the jailer do? He took them and he washed their stripes. Why hadn't he done that before he threw them into prison? Because he didn't regret what he had done before he threw them into prison. He wasn't concerned about it. Because there was no reformation that he needed to do. There was no resolution he needed to take. He didn't care. But when he learned what he had done, I need to make this right. I need to make a change. And he washed their stripes. In Acts 19, there were some Christians who were sorcerers. They had become Christians, but they had been practicing sorcery. They had been practicing magical arts. And they had the manuals. They had the manuals that told them how to practice the magical arts of these idols. And they became Christians. In Acts 19, the Bible says they came confessing their sins, their deeds, and they brought their books and they burned them. I don't want to be a part of this sin anymore. And they burned it. What restitutions are there that I might need to make in order to make my repentance complete? What sins are there that I might need to confess in order to make my repentance complete? You know, sins don't need to be confessed any wider than the knowledge of that sin is known. That's why Matthew chapter 18 says, if somebody sinned against you, you go and you take care of it in between the two of you. A sin between two individuals does not need to be brought out and confessed in front of everybody. It's just between two people. But a sin needs to be made right as widely as that sin had done wrong. When you look at your life and we understand what sin is, the question this morning is, do I need to repent? Is there anything in my life that I need to regret having done against God, resolve I'm not going to do it again, reform my life and get away from it, and restore some things and make it right? Anything I need to do? Anything standing between me and my God? And if so, why should I do it? Why is repentance so important? Why? Here's this lesson. Here's this topic. I'd rather hear anything else other than repentance, because that's pointing right at me and says, I've got to make a change. Why should I have to make a change? Number one, because God despises sin. If I begin to see sin the way God sees sin, would my life be different? God despises, hates sin. You read Proverbs chapter 6 for one place, and he lists seven things, seven sins that he hates. Here's something that we do against God that separates us from God, and God says, I despise that. Here is something that will condemn us to hell. Romans 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And yet sin is so powerful. It has a way of just wrapping its tentacles around us. We have a way of allowing the world to enter into our hearts sometimes. We allow the love of money to enter into our hearts. We allow the pleasures of this world to enter into our hearts and overtake us. And we need to realize God hates it when we give in to sin. Why do I need to repent? Because God doesn't want me to live in that life. Why do I need to repent? Because God desires it. He wants me to do it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish. Listen to that. God doesn't want anybody to perish. Well, what does He want? He wants all men to come to repentance. It's what He desires of you. Why should I repent? Because I want to do something that God wants me to do. Why should I repent? God not only desires it, He demands it. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, He now commands all men everywhere to repent. It's not optional with God. It's not something that says, well, you know, as long as everybody else is doing it, you don't have to do it. It's a demand of God. Why should I repent? He desires it, He demands it, but He also delights in it. There's three parables in Luke chapter 15. We talked about the parable of the prodigal son at the end of the chapter, but in the beginning of the chapter, we read about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And at the end of both of those parables, we read almost the same statement, very similar anyway, that says that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Why should I repent? Why should I turn away from sin? Why should I make up my mind to change my mind, to change the direction of my life, to turn my life in the direction of God? Why should I do that? Because that will bring rejoicing in the presence of angels. It'll bring rejoicing in heaven. God delights in it, therefore I should do it. Why should I do it? Because God is drawing me to do it by a number of, and I put this in incentives, motives. What are some incentives? What are some motives that God uses to get me to repent? One of them, as you begin to think about all of these things that God could use to cause me to want to repent, 2 Peter chapter 3 mentions His long suffering. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know how that verse begins? That verse begins by saying God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to us. He wants us to repent. Why should I repent? Because God is being patient with me. He's waiting for me to do it. Why should I repent? What are some reasons? What are some incentives for me to do it? The Bible says the goodness of God. Not just His long suffering. Romans chapter 2 is an interesting text, those first few verses. But verse 4 says, Do you despise the long suffering and the tolerance of God? Here you are living your life, and do you despise the fact that God is patient and tolerant with you? And the end of the verse says, do you not know that your goodness, that God's goodness leads you to repent? How good has God been to you? Not to anybody else. How good has God been to you? The Bible says that ought to cause you to want to repent, to turn away from sin and turn towards God because of how good He has been to you and how long-suffering He has been with you. The Bible says that God wants us to repent, and one of His incentives is His judgment. Acts chapter 17 is where He commands it, but keep reading right into verse 31. Acts 17 verse 30 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. You know what the next word is in that sentence? Just keep reading the next verse. God now commands all men everywhere to repent, comma, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge all of mankind. Why should I want to repent? Because one day I'm going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. He's described there in verse 31 as the judge who I'm going to stand before. And if I wait until that point to repent of my sin, it will be too late. I need to repent today to be ready for the judgment. The severity of God is an incentive to repent. If you go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 4 talks about His goodness, but the verses before it and the verses after it talk about how when we are sinning, we are storing up the wrath of God for the day of judgment. That's not what I want. I don't want the severity of God being stored up on my behalf. I don't want any of His severity being pointed in my direction. Why should I want to repent? What incentives is God giving to me? Not only His judgment, not only His severity, but the promise of punishment. A verse that's often quoted when it comes to repentance is Jesus says it twice. He repeats Himself, Luke 13, verse 3 and Luke 13, verse 5. He says the same thing. He says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise, what's the next word? Perish. He comes right out and says it. He says, folks, if you don't repent, you're going to stand in judgment of God. If you don't repent, you're going to be a subject of the severity of God. If you don't repent, you are going to perish under the punishment of God. Why should I want to keep living in sin? Why should I want to say, no, I'm okay over here? Why should I not want to change my mind and say, no, I don't want to be here anymore? I want to change my mind and change the direction of my life and say, I want to come over here and not receive the punishment of God. I want to come over here and receive the salvation of God. When those people were pricked in their hearts, when they regretted what they had done in crucifying Jesus in Acts 2 and verse 37, they said, men and brethren, what do we do? What did Peter say in verse 38? What was the first word out of Peter's mouth when they said, what do we do? First word, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why, Peter? For the remission, the forgiveness of your sins. Why should I repent? Because when I repent the way God told me to repent, He'll take all of my sins and He'll forgive them. He'll take them away. And He has promised me a reward in heaven if I will repent. In that same passage where Paul was talking to Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he said that when people repent and they turn towards God, they not only receive forgiveness, but they receive an inheritance from God. A reward in heaven. Instead of perishing because they didn't repent, they're rewarded because they do repent. Why should I repent? The last incentive, at least the last incentive for this lesson, God's love. God loves you. And His love is causing Him to plead with you to repent. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, Him who I love, I rebuke and chasten. He's saying this to these Christians. I love you. So He says, therefore, because I love you, be zealous and repent. God loved you enough to send Jesus to take your sins upon Him. The very sins that you need to get out of your life, the very sins that you may be allowing to take up residence in your heart, are the very sins that Jesus bore upon the cross and the ones that God wants you to turn away from. God loves you enough that He sent His Son. God loves you enough that if you'll repent and turn to Him, He'll take every single one of those sins away. This morning, why would you not want to repent? Why would you not want to turn away from those sins and turn towards God? Answer the question today. Do I need to repent? The last question that we look at briefly is, who needs to? Who needs to repent? Well, Acts 17 verse 30 kind of covers it, doesn't it? The Bible says in Acts 17 verse 30 that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Who does that leave out? That includes everybody. So for me to sit here today and to say, well, I don't have anything to repent of, negates Acts 17 and verse 30. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned. Are you not included in Romans 3 and verse 23? If you say you have no sin, 1 John chapter 1, you make God a liar. Do I have sins I need to repent of? I'm an all men and I'm everywhere. At least I'm somewhere. I need to repent. Who needs to repent? Someone who has never been converted to Christ. Someone who has never become a Christian. Someone who has never had their sins taken away by the blood of Jesus needs to repent. That's what Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38. He was talking to individuals that they were Jews. At one time, they may have been right with God through their national religion, but now they need to become a Christian. They're not right with God anymore. They need to give their lives over to Christ, be baptized into Christ, to repent and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. If you have not done that before, you need to do that today. You don't need to delay. You don't need to wait. You need to do it this very day. But maybe you're already a Christian. Maybe you've already repented and been baptized in order at that very moment to obtain the remission of sins. I guess you don't need to repent, right? Because repentance is just for those people that are not Christians yet. They need to repent in order to become a Christian, but after that, there's nothing left to repent of, right? That's not right. In Acts chapter 8, there was a Christian by the name of Simon who sinned against God. And he was told in Acts chapter 8, your heart is not right with God. He's a Christian. What do you mean by, no, your heart's not right? Because you've allowed sin to come into your life. And he says, your heart is not right with God. And verse 22 of Acts chapter 8, the first word is repent. And pray God that the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. If you're a Christian this day, if you've sinned against God, this day you need to confess your sin to God. You need to repent. And you need to ask God to forgive you. That doesn't mean that you need to come down the aisles and ask the church to pray for you and ask for forgiveness. Confession of sin, acknowledgement of sin, repenting of sin needs really only to be done as wide as that sin is known. But if you're a Christian and your life has not been what it should be, and perhaps your life choices are known by others, and that's brought shame and reproach upon you, upon you as a Christian, and even upon the church, then even this day, you may need to repent and come before the church and confess. What kind of Christians need to repent? Any Christians who have sinned against God need to repent. Any Christians who have left their first love in Revelation chapter 2. Jesus commanded Christians in Revelation 2 who had left their first love to repent. If you're a Christian that's not following Jesus, the way you need to follow Jesus, you haven't been showing Him your love in your life. The Bible says you need to repent. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus was talking to a group of Christians who had become lukewarm in their service to God. Oh, wait a minute, I haven't sinned. I'm not like Simon in Acts chapter 8. I haven't sinned in front of everybody. Sure, you need to repent of that. Yeah, if you've left your first love and you're not following Jesus, well, of course you've got to repent of that, and you've got to come back and do the first works and to follow Him right. But wait a minute, what's this about not being zealous for service? Some of the most stern words in all of the Bible are spoken to Christians in Revelation chapter 3 when they are told to repent of their lukewarm service because their service to Jesus was not hot as He wanted it to be. And He said, if it's not hot, I'd rather it be cold. But don't you dare, He says, be in the middle somewhere. Don't you dare be, well, I'm not really hot, and I'm just kind of in the middle of my service. He says, you know what? I'd like to spew you out of my mouth. Are there any of us today who need to repent? Because we as Christians have been in the middle somewhere. Lukewarm in our service to God. You know, every sermon that we preach here has a song of invitation. And a song of invitation is a song of encouragement, we call it. To encourage individuals who need to respond to the gospel of Christ to do that. And there are some individuals who need to respond in a public manner, meaning to come forward during that song. Those who need to do that would include those who have never become a Christian. We would love for you this day, if you've never repented and been baptized for the remission of your sins, we'd love for you to do it today. We have water here. It's warm water. We have garments and towels here. If you've never repented, turned away from sin, changed your mind, changed the direction of your life, and been baptized in order to obtain the remission of sins, you can do that today. And we would long for you as a child of God to make up your mind that that's what you want to do and to do it just this very day. But if you've already done that, the song of encouragement is for all of us who are Christians. Many of us, the majority of us, do not need to respond publicly to a song of encouragement. Most of us don't need to respond publicly and to come before the church and to ask the church to forgive us of sins that the church doesn't know anything about. But probably most of us, if not all of us, need to respond privately as we sing a song. And in our hearts, say to God, God, I regret what I have done against you. And I am this day resolving that I don't want to do that sin anymore. And I am this day reforming my life to get that sin behind me, God. And God, I'm going to make restitution and fix whatever I need to fix. Any wrongs, anything I've broken, God, I'm going to try to fix that. Most of us this morning probably need to be saying that to God as we sing this song together. But if as a child of God, you need to respond publicly because there is sin reigning in your life that is taking control, and you need to confess it, you need to come before the church and ask for prayers, for forgiveness and prayers for strength that you might overcome that sin, then this song of invitation is for you too. Regardless of whether you respond publicly or you respond privately, there's not a single one of us here today who is not an all men everywhere who does not need to respond to God's message today. It says, do I need to repent? Yeah. I need to repent. And may we leave here today with a resolve to serve God with more fervency and zeal than we ever have before. Song of Invitation says, do you know my Jesus? If you don't know Him, the way that He longs for you to know Him, that you might be one of His followers, to be a child of God, we plead with you to come right now as together we stand and sing.